Blog Talk Radio.
Have tuned in to Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. I am so excited that you have joined me on today. Today is the day that the Lord has made, and I will and we will rejoice and be glad therein. I hear the scripture say, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. We come today to exalt the name of the Lord our God up today and to again speak about another victorious lesson about how the children of God can continue to live in a place of perpetual victory and that they can be tremendously blessed and be the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. I tell you, I'm excited about our lesson on today, and I'm excited about you. Yes, you for joining us on today. I know you're in for a tremendous blessing, so be encouraged as never before. This is a time of rejoicing, a time that the people of God is going to be tremendously blessed. And so I want you to just to hold on and hold forth and be encouraged and watch God do some great things in and through your life, because that's the type of God that we serve. He's going to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh within you. And so, well, we're coming today to tell you, to encourage you, to let that power work. Let it have its pre-course and preeminence in and through your life, and you will see the fruit of your labor and see that which God is trying to get in you, through you, and to you. And God is going to do it, because the blessing that Scripture says is nigh thee, even in your mouth. We're talking today on victorious living through the words of empowerment from biblical lessons and principle, exploring the theological implication and contextualizing the relevancy for today's living. I tell you, child of God, there is a blessing for you on today, and it's just, it's nigh thee. It's even in your mouth, and we're going to talk about a great lesson on today is victorious living. And you can find it. We're going to be reading from John 16, verses 7 through verse number 13. And then we're going to look at Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through verses 21. I want to say, before we get into the lesson, I want to say I thank God for each and every one of my listeners, those that are around the world, those that are there in India and Guyana and Africa, Nigeria, and those that are here in the States and also the Philippines. And we just want to say we are excited about you. We are excited about this as bringing a closure to another glorious year. I can imagine that it may not have been everything that you had entailed or desire it to be, and you may have come through some hard tests and trials and tribulation, but I come to encourage you, child of God, take heart. The best is yet to come. I heard someone said in 2010, we're going to win. But I tell you, you're on the winning side even right now, and God is doing some great and mighty things in and through your life, even as we speak. So hold fast. And don't be discouraged or don't give up. Just hold on to what you know that God is and doing in and through your life. The best is yet to come. So let us take a look at the scripture on today as we draw our hearts and minds in. And again, that's going to be John chapter 16, verses 7 through verse number 13. And it reads on this line, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you in to all truth. Excuse us for that pause there and that moment of destruction. And it reads on this line, howbeit when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Now let's look at Galatians 5, verses number 16 through 21. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things which ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifested, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresy, envy, and murder, drunkenness, reveling, such like, of which I tell you, because as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I want to stop for just a moment, because many times, and I think we all should actually stay very, very positive and walk in faith and walk into the things of God that God has given unto us to walk in. But even in the same token, it's vital for us as children of God is to not look at just some of the scriptures because it feels good, it looks good, it's not convicting me, it's not challenging me to grow. Is not challenging me to come higher or to embrace the holiness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But we must begin to really look at the whole picture, look at the things that is uncomfortable for us and deal with those things too, because God said in his word, he said, now the work of the flesh are manifested, which are these. And it goes on to say, idolatry, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresy, envy, and murdering, drunkenness, reveling, and such like. And it goes on to say, as such like, that there may be more and other things that are there that really are entailed in those particular things. Now, we must begin to be able to live victoriously is to look at every one of these things, idolatry, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresy, envy, and murder, and drunkenness, and reveling. We need to look at all of these, as well as the fruit of the Spirit. Well, the fruit of the Spirit is very key for us to horn and have in our life because God is looking for fruit in our life. But we must recognize, too, just like when an individual doing a sustenance of their own life, we must begin to look at our weakness as well as our strength. And so here we must look at and begin to have a greater sensitivity and awareness of the works of the flesh, so that we will not allow these things to be manifested in our life. Many times we talk about fornication, many times we talk about idolatry, and those sometimes seem like they just stop at those two things there, idolatry and fornication. But we need to look well into the matter so that we can live victoriously and look at, as well, those uncomfortable places, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, strife and wrath, sedition, heresy, envy, murder, drunkenness, and unraveling. We need to look at all of these things too and just sit down and ask God to give us a greater understanding so these things will not be manifested in our life. Or if they are, teach us how to mortify the deeds of the flesh so that we can live victoriously every day of our lives, because we recognize that these things can't be prevalent even in the child of God's life. Why would he put it there? Why would it be even in the Word of God and even also in the book of Galatians? And so we must begin to recognize that and understand, you know, even the spirit of rebellion and is the same as witchcraft. So if an individual is rebelling against the authority that God has placed in the land as well as in the house of the Lord and things and in the structure that God has ordained, that is working witchcraft. And so we must begin to really recognize that emulation, jealousy, and strife and things, these must not even be named among the children of God, murdering the character and the purpose of other individual laboring in Zion. These things should not even be numbered or mentioned or named among us. And so we must deal with those things and begin to recognize. And when individuals begin to engage in the works of the flesh, we as children of God that recognize the works of the flesh must begin to say, you know, that's the work of the flesh. Call it as what it is. You know, that's the work of the flesh, and God does not want us to work in that area. He wants to be to display the fruit of the Spirit. So we need to move away from that, and maybe you need to consider mortifying that and not allowing that to be prevalent in your life. And so we as children of God, we must become a little more bolder and things and deal with that work of the flesh and begin to just call it as what it is. You know, baby, that's the work of the flesh. You know, God don't want us to be there. It's unfruitful. It's not going to get you nowhere. And things, matter of fact, it's going to cause you to move into the wrath of God instead of the things of God. And so teaching and training and cultivating is very, very key to be able to live victoriously. Now, we haven't even gotten into our lesson today, but this is the lesson, because we need to know, even as we are moving out and moving forward into a new place, we must begin to look at the things. And this is what I charged the children of God at the church. I said, you know, what are the things that are besetting you? Who is it that's besetting you? Is it a person? Is it a thought in your mind? Is it an incident that happened in your life? Begin to look at those things and begin to move away from those things or deal with it, bring resolution and closure to it, and then move forward into the blessed place that God has. If you need to repent, repent. If you need to confess, confess. If you need to ask God for help, ask God for help. If you need God to strengthen you in that area, ask God for the strength that you need in that area. And then the Holy Spirit is like a gentleman. He's not going to come and violate your desire, but he will, if you invite him into those places, come in and abode and strengthen us and fortify us in those areas. So it's left to us as what we're going to do with the charge and do with the things that God has placed in our hands. So I hope you can see where we're going today, because we want to be victorious in everything, in our thinking, in our emotion, in our mindset. So we won't be delving into the works of the flesh, but we can recognize them and move away from it. Because in every area, child of God, that you grow or the level that God take you, you know, you have to, again, deal with the work of the flesh. You have to constantly deal with that and think, and maybe a piece that, you know, a weakness in your life. But we need to deal with those things so that we can get total victory, so that we can move forward with great peace and joy and confidence and competence as we're moving forward in the things of God. Now, the Holy Ghost continues an important role in the life of the child of God, even after they've been born again. It is not enough to be brought into a relationship with God. That new relationship must be continued in a walk of holiness with God. The child of God should understand that it is possible to live a life of victory every day. The beautiful plan of salvation provides not only for the new birth, but for the living the new life. Many passages in the Pauline epistle deals with daily Christian living. The other New Testament writers also are concerned that the believer should always live in victory. Salvation become necessary when man fall into the slavery of sin. Because of sin, all were separated from a holy God. Jesus Christ broke down the walls of separation by paying the penalty for sin and reconciling man to God. If after we have been reconciled to God, we didn't revert to our former life of sin, Calvary would have been of no avail in our life. So see, God does not want us to fall back into those things that he has delivered us out of. Then the cross of Calvary have not availed in that individual life who have continued on in that sin or in that area of works of the flesh and things. You want the cross of Calvary to avail in your life as a child of God. And that's why it's key for us to cry out to God and ask God to help us, even in the weakness, in the places that are challenging and things. Ask God, because so that the cross of Calvary can avail in your area, in that area of your life and things. God wants to avail there. And so we got to give God permission to avail in our weaknesses and in the places where we are being greatly challenged. He's waiting and willing to avail in those areas, but we have to invite them into those places, okay? Now, under the law, men were required to be holy, and this was very difficult, for they had to strive for this holiness by their own strength and personal determination. The law did not provide any enabling power. Under the New Testament, however, the Holy Spirit indwells the child of God, enabling them to live in victory. Amen? And so here, I must take consciousness. It's just not going to happen overnight. It's going to be a daily walk. It's a daily moving forward in God and towards that. Taking a moment, and this is a practical application I'll invite you to consider, taking a moment before you start in your busy day and begin to stop and begin to just take your personal devotion and attend to yourself and pray even in the Holy Ghost, because he said building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in your heavenly language is building up your most holy faith, putting on the new man every day and renewing your mind every day. And so these practical steps are very key. First of all, getting up, praying, seeking the heart of God, worshiping, taking a moment to worship God, thanking him for who he is and perhaps thanking him for the things that he's done in and through your life and things. Then also spending time, a few minutes in the scripture, reading the scripture. I normally like to encourage people to go to the book of Proverbs. Today is the 22nd, so I will encourage them to read the 22nd book of or chapter of Proverbs. And then begin to ask God to speak back to your life. And take a moment and sit there in a moment of meditation before the Lord and allowing God to minister back to you and to speak to your heart and mind and soul and encompassing your atmosphere with praise and worship and thing. And when God brings the things that he wants us to give up and things, you know, if you need to repent, repent. If you need to ask forgiveness and things, because it's all a cleansing power that has taken place in your life is cleansing us from the old and is renewing our minds for the new and what God wants to do in and through our life. And so just as we get up and attend to ourselves every day, we get up, we bathe, we get up, we do our dental hygiene, then we also get in there and just, you know, attend to ourselves before we start our day or even at the end of our day and things. Such as it is spiritual, we must attend to our spiritual man just like we do this natural man. And so what you attend to more is what's going to live. and what's going to be the one that's going to rule in your life. If you're attending to your spirit man and cultivating that, well, that's where you're going to reside at and allowing God to speak to your heart. But if you're just getting up and just running into your day and running to attend to the things that you have to attend to, you miss a main ingredient, that relationship, that intimacy that the Lord Jesus Christ will have. Now let's look at victory over sin. Victory over sin. Man in his sinful state is a slave to sin. Therefore, he is always subject to the dictates of the old nature. Romans 6, verses 17 and 18 state, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." And so, see, children of God, we are no longer the servants of sin, but we are the servants of righteousness. And we're doing a series in our church, doing our Christian education, about the righteousness of God and God's holiness. You know, in all of the things that are happening and all of the beautiful things that are going forth, we don't want to forget the righteousness of God, that we are servants of righteousness. And not only that, but also the holiness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, however, when we were born again into the kingdom of God, the claims of the former kingdom, which is the powers of darkness, can no longer affect our living without our consent. Now, you have to co-sign and consent to go back and live in sin. Amen. It just came to just like a happenstance. You got to give heed to it and give in to it and co-sign and consent, because it will not happen without your consent. And so it's very key for us as children of God to recognize it and say, okay, I'm not going in that direction. Oh, I see, devil, I see you. I see that negativity. I see, you know, what you're trying to do and bring me back to that old way of life. But I'm not going there. And God, I need your help, and I need your help right now. That's how we move away from it. God, I'm a servant of righteousness. What is the right thing to do in God and things? All I see is the negativity and darkness. But God, what is the right thing to do in this world? It will bring glory and honor unto you. And so beginning to ask ourselves those questions and beginning to just move towards the righteousness of God is very, very key. Now, Romans chapter 6, verse 14, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." Oh, sha-ta-da-da-bo-sha. Come on and shout hallelujah. Glory be to God. You know, you can get up every morning and say, "Sin, you shall not have dominion over me, over my house, over my finance, over my body, over my children." You can declare it in the atmosphere. Oh, he said, "Is nigh thee, even in your mouth." Speak, prophesy, speak over your life and your destiny, child of God. That's what your mouth is for, to speak life and not death. Oh, come on and shout hallelujah. I feel the power of God moving right now, that you have to speak it out of your mouth and God will perform it. Oh, yes, he will. He said, "According to your faith, so be it unto you." You can declare, "Sin will not have dominion. I will walk victoriously every day in the power of our Lord." Now, the sin is always at work in the world. The end result of sin is death, as we know over in James chapter 1, verse 15, and Romans chapter 6, and verse 23. This makes it absolutely necessary for us not only to be set free from the guilt of sin, but to live a life of victory over sin if we want to make heaven our home. Now, that's the key right there. Do you want to just go to church just to be going to church because you know that's the right thing to do and that you know that that's what God will want us to do? Or are you going because you want to make heaven your home and you want to line your life up with the divine and sovereign will of God? And so we must think about that. It said it was sin that separated man from God in the beginning, and it is sin that will separate man from God after he had been born again. Now, so we must recognize it will be sin that will separate a child of God from God. In the New Testament, we see how God, in his abundant mercy, provided forgiveness for the sin of the past. He made full provision, plan of salvation for us to be full with spirit and grounded in the word of God in order that we would live an overcoming life. This provision was not made for God's people in the Old Testament time. Now, let's look at another area of the conviction of sin. Without conviction, man will continue in the life of sin, unaware of their lost condition. Conviction of sin makes men aware that they are guilty of transgressing the divine law of holiness. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. John 16 and 8 said, when he comes, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. John 16 and 8. When the Apostle Paul was brought before Felix, he reasoned of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come. The governor was so convicted by the word of this child of God that he trembled. Acts chapter 24 and 25 say, and as he reasoned for righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." And so here, Felix, he got convicted when the man of God was standing there sharing with him the things of God. So convicted, he said, "I'll need you to get out of my face for right now. I need some space here because that's way too much for me to deal with and handle." And so Felix was being convicted, but did not allow that conviction to move him to transformation or conversion and things. But what he did, he said he couldn't take it. "Get out and send Paul away from me." Oh, shatarabo sheka. I thank God for the Pauls in our lives that allowed the Holy Spirit to use them to cause us to be convicted and recognize that we was lost and that we needed a Savior and that we gave our life to the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and now living and serving righteousness and living and walking up right before God. Thank God for people that have the boldness to allow the Spirit of God to use them to convict us of our sin so that we can see where we're at as children of God so we can come up higher and be the man and the woman of God that God has called us out to be. Oh, come on and shout hallelujah. I know it's tight, but it's right. Oh, my. It's tight, but it's right. Because if you want to just go to church or if you want to make heaven your home, you're going to have to do some deep soul searching and looking into the matter and allowing God to take his rightful place in our lives as children of God and to come on up to where he is calling you as a child of God and serve him with your whole heart, mind, and soul. Further, let's look. Through conviction by the Holy Spirit and the written word of God, we are brought into a place of divine judgment so that by repentance we can escape the great and final judgment. Without the convicting power of the Holy Ghost, we would never feel the need for repentance. To convict someone means to declare to be legally guilty. The word declares all men to be guilty before God. Romans 3 and 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That's what the word said. The same word and spirit, Almighty God, that convicted the sinner will also convict the saint when they transgress the holiness of God. If we do not desire to continue suffering the pain of conviction, we need to learn to live victoriously. We need to learn how to do that. Now, let's look at the conversion of the fleshly man. Now, the fleshly man responded to the dictates of the fleshly nature. It is the nature which is sinful by birth and shapen in iniquity. It is natural for the fleshly man to sin. Romans 7 and 5. When we were in the flesh, the motion of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. Romans 8 and 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. Now, let's look at the new birth and the new nature. Through the new birth, we acquired a new nature. We become a new creature. Romans 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 states, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. 2 Peter 1 and 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, many things happen at a particular moment of our experience with Christ. We are born into the kingdom of God, according to John 3:5. We are baptized into the body of Christ, according to 1 Corinthians 12 and 13. We are transferred from the jurisdiction of the laws of sin and death to the jurisdiction of the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, Romans 8 and 2. Christ now dwells in us, Colossians 1 and 27. Our bodies become the temple of the Holy Ghost, 1 Corinthians 6 and 19. When we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ indwells us by his Spirit. As we allow the Holy Spirit to exercise control over us, godly characters such as love, joy, peace will be the evidence in our life. And so here is key to allow the Holy Spirit to exercise rule over our life and take control over our life. And just say, Holy Ghost, take control. Just take control, Holy Ghost, in my life and things. And watch God, because at that point in time, when you allow him to, that's when he's just going to take full control in and through your life, because you've given him permission to take control. And we must give him permission to take control over our life. Now, let's look at the new nature. It said it's important to explore the aspect of redemption that makes us a new creature in God. A good understanding of new nature will lay a strong foundation for victorious Christian living. Titus 3 and 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. So here, he has done this according to his mercy by saving us and then by washing us of the regeneration, starting all over again. The Apostle Paul, speaking of the sin of the men of the world, described the change that takes place when we are born again. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the Spirit of our God. 1 Corinthians 6 and 11. Now, Galatians chapter number 3 and 27 states, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. So when you get baptized into Christ, you put on Christ. Oh, I want you to catch that. When you get baptized, some of you may be saying, well, I've never been baptized. I've never been immersed. I've been sprinkled, but I've never been immersed in water. Well, it's key for you to be immersed in the water and be baptized, that you can take on the nature of Christ. Go back and read Galatians 3 and 27. It's right there in your Bible. I'll read it to you again. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Now, let's look at another scripture. Galatians 1 and 16. Who have delivered us from the power of darkness, and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. So once you've been baptized into Christ, Galatians 3:27, you have been translated from, delivered from the power of darkness. So the power of darkness have no more dominion over your life. And you have been translated into the kingdom of his dear son. So now, as I was sharing with the precious saints of God, you know, you could be on your job. And you could be going to your copier, the copying some paper, and there you stand. You residing in one kingdom, and somebody else is standing and residing in the kingdom of darkness. One is residing in the kingdom of darkness. One is residing in the kingdom of God's dear son. And so we as children of God, we must recognize that. So when you find yourself fighting up and being challenged and things you might be challenged by somebody who is residing in the kingdom of darkness, and you don't have to step off into darkness and things and to go there with them. You continue to reside in the kingdom of God's dear son, in the kingdom of light, in God's kingdom, and let God fight your battle, child of God. You don't even have to even pick up a thought to what you're going to come back with them. You don't even have to do that, child of God, because that's beneath your living and things, because you're residing in another kingdom. If they want to act crazy, if they want to go there and things like that, don't go with them. You know, let them go on that journey by themselves. That's the journey you're going to travel by yourself, because I'm not coming. And so sometimes we got to think about it like that. When you see people are acting up and coming up against you, remember they're kicking up against the kingdom of the dear son, which is the son of God, and things in which you reside in. And you don't have to cross over into darkness to get the victory. You can just reside in peace, love, and joy. Oh, and your sound mind. Oh, come on and shout hallelujah. Slap yourself with a high five, girl. Come on, brother. Slap yourself with a high five. I know we're right. I tell you, it's tight, but it's right. Come on and shout hallelujah. Oh, Rabashandarabushiki. I felt the Holy Ghost right there. Take control, Holy Ghost. Take control over and teach it the way you want to be taught, God. And we'll praise your blessed name that your people can be strengthened and fortified. Let us look further. It's in it. The indwelling Holy Spirit produces within our lives the fruit of the Spirit. The new nature shows forth in its own image in the life of the believer. If a person is truly born again, their life will manifest the characteristics of that new nature. It is automatic, a natural sequence. Consequences of living a spirit-filled life. Without the Spirit, a person cannot produce the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, come on now. Without the Spirit of God, they cannot produce the fruit of the Spirit. However, if the Spirit is permitted to control an individual, the fruit of the Spirit will be produced in their life. This would allow men and women, boys and girls, to see Christ in the believer. Now, that's where we got to get, child of God, that we can be victorious, that when people are coming up against you, let them see Christ in you. Let them see Holy One of Israel in you, coming, emanating out of your eyes and emanating out of your heart. I told somebody, how can somebody beat a dead man? You know, you die out to, you know, you getting back, die out to your opinion, die out to getting the last word, and watch God be glorified in your life, in that situation. The Bible says we die daily. We're crucified in flesh. Sometimes we're made glazed and stuff, but it's for the good. We die daily that somebody else may live and things. And so a crucifixion comes, you know, at a cost sometimes. But guess what? Life is being birthed out in somebody else. They can see God at work in your life because you didn't come back at them, that you didn't try to attack them because they're attacking you or treating you mean or evil. You're showing them nothing but the pure love of God and the mercy and compassion of God towards them as children of God. It is interesting to note that the nine segments form one spirit, indicating that one portion of the spirit cannot be had without the other. Each part is in part of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It says over in Galatians 5 and 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And so there's no law and no stoppage of joy and peace and love. It's nothing that says you got enough of a temperance or meekness or faith and goodness and things, or even long-suffering. Sometimes we don't want to talk about that, but that's a part of the fruit too. When we are suffering long, amen, that's a part of the fruit and things as well. But that's when we can say, God, make my bitter places sweet. Oh, I don't like this, God, but Father, help it to be sweet to me, God, and things. And when we begin to ask God to make my bitter places sweet and things, then it can make it going through that trial or that tribulation much easier, because now the sweetness of the Holy Spirit is coming to embrace you while you're in the middle of all that chaos. And God said, I'm going to make your bitter places sweet. Matter of fact, I want you just to mount up on my wings and I'm going to take you to the place where I need to be gone to take you, because you called on me and you brought me in. Now, victorious and blessed children of God, Christian living comes when we surrender and give the new nature the dominant place in our lives. Now, this is it right here. I want you to get that. I'm going to say it again. Victorious and blessed people of God and living comes when an individual surrender and give the new nature the dominant place in their life. Now, it reminds me, it takes my mind way back to the early 80s and things when I first given my life to the Lord. And I would hear the mothers of the church, they would say, surrender, baby, surrender. Come on, surrender, surrender to God. Come on, surrender. And what I want to say is that, you know, those words are still relevant today, and we can contextualize those today for today's living and things and see the theological implication of surrendering. Oh, we must surrender. Oh, God, surrender unto mighty power in the hand of God as God is moving in and through the life of God's people. We must surrender and allow that power just to flow through us as never before, and allow the new nature to have preeminence and things. I'm not that same person no more. Even yesterday and things, I'm a new creature today. God said, put on the new man every day and things. What happened yesterday is yesterday. And now I'm living in the new today and things, and walking in the newness of life every day and things, because I'm surrendering to the Holy Ghost and allowing that Holy Spirit to have a dominant control over and in my life. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Oh, sometimes people take your meekness as a weakness. But no, it's not a weakness, child of God. It's power in control. That's saying that I'm in control of this power. I'm in control of this situation, even though it may look crazy. But no, because you see me in my meekness doesn't mean that I'm not in control of things. I'm in control of this situation from the front to the end. Oh, so don't misinterpret that meekness as being a weakness, but it's power in control. Oh, come on, child of God. I feel like shouting right there. I can run right now. Oh, Rabba Shanna. Slap yourself with a high five. Tell yourself you can make it. Oh, yes, 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 yes. Hallelujah. Yes to the Lord our God. It said we must daily crucify the fleshly nature and his lust. The Lord give us power to do this. When we allow the will of Christ to be our will, we can crucify the flesh with his lust. Now, let me say that again, because I want you to get that. Because, again, we want to be relevant. You know, we don't want to just live in a place where there's no victory, because, you know, everybody talking about positive living. No, I'm talking about victorious living. I'm talking about living victoriously, even when you're in a bad time, a bad situation, living victorious even in that place. Amen. Amen. It said the Lord give us power to crucify the fleshly nature and his lust. There's things that are in us that are lusting after other things. And there's nature, fleshly nature, that we must live above that. And through the power that God has given us through the Holy Ghost, we are able to live victorious up and over it. It said when we allow the will of Christ to be our will, we can crucify the flesh with his lust. So what we have to do is say, God, not my will, but thy will be done in my life. Even in this situation, God, you know, I may want to get out of this situation. I may want to, you know, don't even want to go through it and things. But saying, nevertheless, God, not my will, but thy will be done in my life, even right now. And when we give again, giving God permission, giving the Holy Ghost the permission to rule in your life, you will see the fruit of the Spirit being produced in that situation. Oh, it got to come forth in some type of way. And in that situation, God will do it. It said when we allow the will of Christ to be our will, we can crucify the flesh with his lust. And so every time that urge comes, every time that individual comes and try to influence you to do the thing that is not godly and not right and things, you say to yourself, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Go to that restroom, go to that bathroom, and talk to God for a minute. Say, God, you know, I don't want to do it and things, but in the sense I do may want to do it. But help me, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Give me the strength that I need. Put a song down in my heart. Help me with my thought and my emotion. And watch God. Watch God step right in and change the situation because you allowed him to come in. Oh, I'm talking about victorious living today. I'm talking about contextualizing. I'm talking about the theological implication of yielding to the will of God and surrendering and allowing the Holy Spirit to have dominion. Oh, have dominion. Somebody need to get the tape and share it with somebody. They need to let God have dominion over their lives. Amen. Now, let's look at victory over the world. Now, victory over the spirit of worldliness. It said, though we become believers through the obedience to the gospel, we continue to live in this world, which is a sinful environment. The Lord leads us here for a time as a witness to those who live without about us. Though we live in the world and the desire of the world are no longer our desire, living in the midst of sin, we do not desire the things of sin. 1 Corinthians 2:12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Every pastor must contend with the effort of the spirit of the world as this spirit seeks to bring worldliness even into the church. Worldliness is not new. It is very subtle, destructive force, but we must ever be on guard against it. When Balak wanted to destroy Israel, he went to Balaam, a Gentile prophet, and asked him to curse Israel. Balaam loved the flattery and offer of the gift from Balak, but he knew that he would incur the wrath of God if he honored Balak's demand. He therefore made a devastating suggestion to the man of the world. He suggested that Balak introduce worldliness into the rank of Israelites. This would please the Lord so that he and his displeasure would no longer protect the chosen one. Now, the devil still knows the church which keeps out the spirit of worldliness is a spiritually strong church, that it is a church which employs the favor and the blessings of God. The effect of worldliness are better understood when we read the letter to the seven churches of Asia over in Revelation 5, chapter 2, and chapter 3. Now, and that's why, did you catch that? Now, I want you to catch that, and I want to slow down because it's key for you to understand it. That's why we as children of God, we cannot just let the worldliness just to come into the church of God because, see, what Balaam, he knew that he could not curse the children of God, but he knew what was pleasing to God and what was displeasing to God. So instead of cursing the children of God, he told Balak, well, won't you let them start bringing worldly stuff in and things? Because if they start bringing worldly stuff into the church, then they're going to incur the displeasure of God, and God will no longer protect his chosen people because they have gone against what God has told them. And so that's what we as children of God, sometimes, you know, we need to call back for the mothers in the church and the elders in the church and things when worldly is trying to creep in and things. They can say, no, baby, we're not going to do that in the house of the Lord because we don't want to get in trouble with God. And thing, and we must recognize that you do that out in the world, and we're not going to do that in the house of the Lord. We must recognize that that's holy ground. We're living on holy ground, and we as children of God, we are responsible in things to be a defender of the gospel. And if you know worldliness is coming into the church and things, somebody needs to stand up and say something because it's bringing displeasure unto God, and God will withhold and withdraw his glory and his power from that church and things and his holiness from that church and things. And so we must recognize that and things as children of God and things like that and know the things that God loves and know the things that God hates and that brings displeasure to God too as well. We need to look at both sides of it. Sometimes I remember my Bishop P.L. Scott. He used to say the great late Bishop P.L. Scott. I remember he would say, And things. Sometimes church is like Lazy Susie. People won't take, pick and take what they want. We got to eat the whole roll. Doing the whole roll don't taste good. You know, we have to eat the whole roll and subject it to the whole plan of God and things like that. And so sometimes we have to say no. That is not pleasing to God, and we are not going to do it because we don't want to lose the glory of God. We don't want to lose the favor of God. We don't want to lose the power of God dwelling among his people. And the divine visitation and the miraculous healing power, we don't want to lose that. So we as children of God, we have to give charge to that. We have to hold on to that and maintain that. Amen? And so I want you to know that, and I want to slow down so we can hear what's pleasing and what's displeasing unto God so we can be living victoriously. Amen? Now, the devil still knows. Like I said, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm, here it is, neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Revelation 3:15-16. This Laodicean church had been affected by the spirit of the world and was about to be cast away. John the writer was very conscious of the special effort that Satan would make in the last day to destroy the spirituality of the church by bringing in worldliness. Worldliness takes on many forms. Believers marry unbelievers. People seek the pleasure of the world. Material things become paramount in the lives of some. Doctrine is perverted and much more. Roman empires tried to destroy the church through persecution, but they failed. Through the Constantine and the practice change, and the Christian religion was made popular. The state supported the church because of this spirit of the world was manifested in many places in the churches of Rome. The true church kept the faith. The saints continued to contend for holiness and godliness. That true apostolic church still lives in victory and in victory today. It says over in 1 John 2:15-16, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. John wrote these words, indicating the Lord did not leave us powerless, but made provision for us to overcome the world. 1 John 5:4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We are able through the Spirit to mortify the deeds of the flesh. The Spirit is not only given to reward us with a feeling of good. He helps us in all area of godliness and victory, victorious living, in which the law failed to provide help. Galatians 5:16 says, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, that's the way we walk. We walk in the Spirit. This is possible, for the Lord hath provided the means. David is victorious living. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Psalms 119:11. The Apostle Paul revealed in the assurance of the victory that can be had in Christ. Romans 8:37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. The flesh may lust after fleshly things, but we have learned to walk in the Spirit. Let's look further. Victory over the problems of life. We are sometimes inclined to overlook the practicality of the gospel. It is designed to answer the needs of this life as well as to prepare us for eternity. In the Word of God, we can find the answer to the problem daily living. The child of God can find the source of divine strength in the Word of God and leading of the Holy Spirit. Now, the family of Moses lived under condition of great stress. They were slaves up under the rule of Pharaoh, who had commanded all the male babies to be slain. The Israelites had to be do heavy labor, manual labor. Food was rationed to them. None of this caused their faith in God to waver. They held forth. Exodus chapter number 2. Daniel was another beautiful example of godly living in the times of stress. Daniel had a strong faith in God, and faith is always fundamental to victorious living. His faith caused him to live a godly life in the wicked king's palace and helped him serve up under a number of heathen monarchs. During the reign of each one, David exalted the name of Jehovah in the place, and at times through means of royal proclamation nationwide. To live victorious in this life, we must be renewed in our mind. Ephesians 4, verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And so it denotes that we as children of God, daily we must be renewed in our spirit of our mind. This can't happen just one time and think you're going to have total victory. No, each day you got to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. This will give us a fresh outlook on life. For 1 Corinthians 13, chapter 13, we learned the importance of love being one of the elements in successful Christian living. Finally, the works of the Holy Spirit is most important. The Spirit helps our infirmity. In ourselves, we may be so weak that we find it hard to cope, but the Spirit is there to help us. Romans 8, verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helps us our infirmity, for we know not what we should pray for as we are. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groaning which cannot be uttered. 1 Peter 5 and 7 said, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Now let's look further. Victory over false doctrine. Many Spirit-filled believers recognize the importance of living victorious regarding holiness, never realizing that there are other areas that also need to be safeguarded. We must safeguard against false doctrine as well. This is often the means by which the devil brings saints to a place of defeat. The scripture speaks of doctrine as being the doctrine of Christ. Paul wrote, hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and in love, it which is in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 1, verse 13. Now, 2 Timothy chapter number 4, verses 2 through 4 say, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort everyone with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itchy ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. And so, child of God, fables are taking place in many places, stories, as opposed to the doctrine and the true word of God. When you see that, when you hear that, stick and turn back to the word of God. Paul said, and I'll read it again. He said, hold fast the form of sound word, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love. Now, this is the key, which is in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 13. Hold fast, child of God. To protect ourselves against error and false doctrine, we should not expose ourselves to it. If someone comes teaching false doctrine, we should not invite them in, nor should we wish them God's blessing. 2 John 10 said, if there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not in your house, neither bid him Godspeed. So, child of God, you have a right as a child of God not to receive everything in your house. Everything that's saying, Lord, Lord, is not going to heaven. It said, if any come unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive them not in your house, neither bid them Godspeed. So it's saying, no, allow them in your house, your regular home, in the material home, and then also your spiritual house. Don't let it in your ear and things. Don't even bid them Godspeed. If they're not speaking with the truth of the word of the Lord, that's why I love about my late bishop, Bishop P.L. Scott. He said, you know, don't take my word, get in the word and read it yourself too. so you can understand and recognize that I am in the Word and things, so you will know the truth. And so it's a key for all of the children of God to read your Bible. And it's inexcusable, man, to say that, you know, I just can't understand it. God said, acknowledge me first and lean not on to your own understanding. He said for us to acknowledge him first and trust him, and for us not to lean on our own understanding and things after we acknowledge him. So when you read your word, acknowledge God. He'll give you understanding. Then also Jude 3 said, beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it is needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And so here it let us know we need to contend to this. We need to hold fast to it and things, because the world is going to do away with it and things, but you got to hold fast. Solomon even said, buy the truth and sell it not. Proverbs 23:23 said, buy the truth, sell it not. So victory over false teachers. The Apostle Paul had a shepherd heart. He was filled with love and concern for the flock of God. In his writing, he informed the believers that false teachers will come into the church to mislead the people of God. First Peter 2:1. But there was false prophets also among people, even as there shall be false teacher among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresy, even denying the Lord that brought them and bring upon them swift destruction. John also sound the word of warning. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit whether that be of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. 1 John 4:1. He further explained how to these false prophets possess the spirit of a false spirit. In the letter to the seven church of Asia in Revelation 2:3, we are again warned of false teachers and false prophets. As we read each of these, we should note the promises that are given to overcomers. See Revelation 1:2-3. Let us look further. Victory over false spirits. Not only do we contend with false doctrine and false teachers, but it's in the very realm of fault of the spirit world, devils seek to direct his attack against us. This knowledge should place us on guard. It should make us realize how important it is to be filled with and be led by the Spirit of God. As the Spirit directed the author of Revelation to know the attack being directed against the church, so the same Spirit will reveal to us the devil probing of our spiritual defenses. John T. Talked of the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of error, 1 John 4:6, and warned us to try the Spirit, 1 John 4:1. The Spirit of God, the teacher sent by God, and the doctrine of God all glorify Jesus Christ and his deity. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. Now, I want to say that again so that you can clearly understand what's the difference in these false spirits and false teaching. And I want to say that again. The Spirit of God, the teacher sent by God, and the doctrine of God all glorify Jesus Christ in his deity. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. We can easily recognize the spirit that comes from God because it will affirm that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. See 1 John 4:2-3. So that's very key for you to recognize, children of God. The word of God, in my conclusion, the Lord is so concerned that we should win every battle that he has made abundant provision through the power of the word and the power of the indwelling spirit and through the power of the name of Jesus to assure us of victory. Within ourselves, we cannot defeat the enemy of our souls, but through Christ, all things are possible. We should never allow Satan to make us feel defeated, for we can have victory even in the apparent defeat. Let us take the instruction of the word concerning the power of the Spirit and realize we are citizens of a victorious kingdom. Child of God, I declare victory in your life, total victory in your daily living. On this day forth, I declare it, that you will read the word of the Lord, that you allow the Holy Spirit to continue to dwell in through you, and that power to lead and guide you, and to have control in your life, and that the name, the power of the name of Jesus, those three things are the blessed assurance, the word, the indwelling spirit, as well as the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. I have to say for four and things and to include the blood of the Lamb of Yeshua, the blood of the Lamb. And we must recognize that it is possible to live victoriously. The work of the Spirit in our life empowers us to overcome and be victorious in our daily living. 1 Corinthians 3 and 17 said, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. And we as children of God, we can and we shall live. Because the scripture of Romans 6, 17 and 18 said, But God be thanks that ye were servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you, being then made free from sin, ye become the servants of righteousness. So child of God, not only are you going to live victoriously, but as you get off of this podcast today, you're going to recognize as never before your identity as being the servant of righteousness. Yes, you're a child of God, but also you are a servant of righteousness. And that living right and living rightly before God is the key, because we're servants of righteousness. We're not our own. And we must recognize it, and that God loves us and moving in and through our lives as never before. Child of God, let us pray. Father, we thank you for this, Lord, lesson, Lord. We thank you because it's bringing the closure of this year. And we thank you as never before, dear God, that as we set our mind even for a brand new day and brand new beginning, Lord, we come, Lord, knowing that we are servants of righteousness according to your word, that you have translated us from the powers of darkness and the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of your dear Son. And Father, we thank you for that translation as we will reside and abide. And we say, Holy Spirit, have dominion over our life. And we thank you, dear God, because you are the righteous Savior, the Holy One of Israel. We give you power. We give you praise in the wonderful name of Jesus. And so on my conclusion, child of God, let the Holy Spirit continue to rest, rule, and abide henceforth for nevermore in your life. And even the word, let it dwell richly in your life, and you will see the power of God and the fruit of the righteousness of God and the fruit of the Spirit being produced in your life, because you allowing the Holy Ghost to have dominion over your life and control. You living in the new nature that God has prepared for us, and you living in the Word of God, and you are embracing and empower that power of the word and the name of Jesus, and you're allowing God to have free course in and through your life. That's how it is. And things for us to be victorious children of God. I want you to know I love you and I appreciate you. I want you just to call me sometime or just to send me an email. Let me know if this has been a blessing to you. I want to hear from you. Send me an email over to my email address, and that's at Shekinah, Shekinahgt at msn.com. Again, I will repeat that. Shekinahgt at msn.com. Or you can always go to ShekinahGloryTabernacle.com and you can get the information there. Amen. May God bless you. May your day be filled with the blessings of the Lord, which will add, make you rich and add no sorrow, that you will walk in the no sorrow blessing all the days of your life. May God bless you is my prayer. And remember, child of God, if you don't have it, God got it. and you're just one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. Watch God do it for you. God bless you. Bye-bye.